Well, you've heard me teach a little bit about soul scripting, and you've heard me teach a little bit about, you know, when you were, before you were ever created, God had destined a plan for you, right? So before your time, he imprinted into your DNA your destiny. And dreams are a matter of being enlightened throughout. It's an illumination of your plan. And basically a dream is this. You're walking down your life, you have a dream, and hopefully it does this to you. And it just kind of keeps you on your path. That's what it does. 90%, some say 80% of your dreams are about changing your character. There's something in your life that God wants to change in your character or to get you to that place. I had someone stopped me Monday night. Yesterday, Tuesday? That would be yesterday. Yesterday after I got off a prayer set and asked me if I could interpret a dream for them. So her dad had just died 10 days ago. And so I really felt like I needed to stop and really hear what her dream was. And in the dream, she was in her childhood home. And in her childhood home, she was standing on the front porch, and a man named Adrian came and brought her a mop. And together, they were mopping the front porch. What do you think that means? Remember what we talked about what a childhood home means? Does anyone remember that? Because if you don't, we're going to start all over again. That's right. Something about your past that you need to deal with, or what motivates you and drives you. It's something in the positive that has, where your parents are a time in that age of your life where you were imparted to generationally, or something that you need to go back and deal with. Well, in this case, you know, her dad had just died, so I knew that in the natural. And cleaning up your front porch, what does your front porch represent? Your front porch represents your future. Your back porch represents your past. And so she was mopping the front porch. She needed to clean some stuff up from her generational past in order to enter into her destiny. And through the dream, she looks out her window, and there's a big tree. And Adrian is pruning the bottom of the tree, pruning the leaves around the tree. It was a big oak tree. Trees represent leadership, because trees give great covering, right? They cover a lot. They provide protection and shade. And so the pruning was taking place. So the Lord's saying, hey, we're going to clean some of this stuff up from your childhood. We're going to take care of some childhood issues that you have so you may enter into your destiny. But what we're going to work on is some leadership issues. We're going to prune some stuff back so that you can flourish in your leadership place. You see how dreams illuminate the destiny which God has planned for your life before you were known to your parents, right? Well, what I want to do today is I want to do a prophetic exercise. And what we have found out is that before you were ever saved, before you said, yes, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, before you came to that place of acknowledging Christ is your Savior, that you will manifest your calling even before you have any recognition of it, before you even realize it. And I gave you a little bit of an example one time, which is my favorite example now, which I use all the time I'm preaching now. I always tell your story. So I asked your pastor, I said, what was your first job? Because what we have found is that your first job, you will see throughout your life where you have worked and how actually it's been a lot of your calling. And so I said, what was your first job? And does anyone know what his first job was? Does anyone know your pastor? I know your pastor really well. Does anyone know? He delivered bread with his father. Do you know what bread stands for in dreams? Money. The word. Wrong class. Bread stands for the word. Showbread can stand for delivering Jesus. And who's the father? And who's the deliverer? And so all together, it was the pastoral call that was in him from long ago. My first job was worked at a driving school. And so what was I manifesting in my calling is that I help people navigate into their ministries, right? That's what I do in dreams. I help you get to that place where God's speaking to you and calling you by bringing revelation, and help guide in that, right? So what we're going to do today is we're going to break up into groups, and you guys are going to ask each other what your jobs were. This is called resume reading, and this is what we do when we do evangelistic tools out on the street. We do dream interpretation, but we also do what's called resume reading. And sometimes if you kind of get stuck if you're ministering to someone on the street and you ask them, so what was your first job? And kind of tell you where to go on their dream, because they manifest it, right? So what I want you to do is get into groups of four with people you don't know. Families, break up and get into other families. Probably that didn't sound real good. But break up and get into different groups of people. And what I want you to do is I want you guys to talk about your first jobs. And I want you to come up with the calling and the manifestation of what they're manifesting in their life. Yes? Nope. You know what? We found that my first job was driving school, but then I went to school to be a paralegal. So I went to school in law, and my greatest calling really is the ministry of justice and to deliver the words, the keys of justice. And so you find out that you do that all through your life. I know some people were babysitting or mowing lawns. Mowing lawns are taking care of grass. It's keeping things within the boundaries. It's pastoral calling. It's keeping things nice and keeping them pretty and making it look good and keeping it within its boundaries. And so cashiers, any cashiers? Yeah. Cashiers, if you have the same dream. Okay, we're not there yet. And so we'll have a question and answer afterwards. Kids, yeah. Yeah, I haven't studied that one yet. You get to listen to everyone else's. Well, cashier, have you ever been that person as a cashier? Raise your hand if you've ever been a cashier. I promise you, I bet you're the type of people that everyone can tell you anything. They'll just divulge all their information to you. You ever walked around and they go, you walk away going, why did they tell me all that? And that's you know why? Because they handle money. And eldership is that elders are who handles the money in churches, right? They are the entrusted ones. They are trusted. In God we trust. It's to have trust in. And so finances are favor and trust, right? You're so funny. We're talking about your calling, not your deliverance. Okay, so y'all get into little groups, and I want you to talk about your first jobs, the first job, or even first or second job. Whatever, let me tell you this. The job that the Lord highlights to you, let's talk about those. If it's babysitting or those jobs you didn't do for money or you did for little money, don't do those. Do the ones that your first real jobs. Like I really sat at a driving school. Are you ready? All right, did anybody have one of those aha moments? Yeah? Okay, Bridget, stand up.
I worked at a Red Barn. Did not have a name. But it was down at Cedar Creek Lake and in this community. And fishermen would come in and grab a hamburger. I was a cashier. Then I was able to make the food and get the minnows and clean the floors and, you know, just everything.
Uh-huh.
But
what did the Holy Spirit tell you about that?
Well, what they were saying is that something about that it didn't have a name. The place didn't have a name. You go after those with no name. You go after the unseen, the one the world passes by. Making food, serving, mm-hmm. the different needs. I was proactive. Mm-hmm. The Red Barn.
Hospitality gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
The Red Barn, gracious, forgiving, making a place for everyone, no judgment. I guess that's about it. But it
does anyone know what a barn stands for? What is a barn? Biblically.
Storehouse.
Also speaks of provision, your ability to make a way where there is no way, point to the way. Red is power and anointing. You have a power and anointing to help people behind the scenes so that when there is no way, you point them to the storehouse. This is where you go.
Cool.
Hospitality. Speaks a lot of hospitality. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty awesome.
That is great. Okay. Someone else from your group.
From the same group?
Yeah. Okay. Girl in the blue.
Yeah.
Girl in the white.
Oh, yeah.
Then the girl in the blue.
Okay. I worked at a donut shop.
Woo! Yeah.
And I was a cashier, and I liked my boss, and then I was an early morning person, is why I was okay with it. And then sometimes I would decorate donuts.
Time to make the donuts. Y'all remember that commercial? No, just us. Just we remember that commercial.
No.
No, you wouldn't.
The cashier, they went with trustworthy, and then decorating, pulling out the beauty of others, bringing joy to others, and the first thing in the morning, bringing joy.
Oh, yeah, because donuts bring me joy. What was the name of the place you worked at?
Oh.
Do you remember? You don't? You just remember it was a donut shop? Yeah. That's a place of sweets typically represent a hospitality gift. Also represents working behind the scenes to make sweets. Any type of candy shop or anything like that speaks of a hospitality gift. It's making things. People don't realize you're the one that makes them pretty. They just take it for granted. You're the one that brings life to it. You're the one that brings joy to it. And most people don't take that into consideration because you're a behind the scenes type of person. Does that bear witness with you? Great. You ready? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. You. Got to get you used to the microphone because you never know. Might be your calling.
Oh, okay. My first job, I worked at J. Crew just in retail. I sold clothes, did the cashier, everything. They said sales and service. Mike said that kind of the name, the J. Crew, that I would bring a crew into Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Who got that one?
Mike.
Yeah, there you go.
Just evangelism.
Nailed it.
Also, I only worked seasonal, and so Suya was saying that I know, like, maybe the
times and seasons.
Times and seasons, yeah.
Yep, Sons of Issachar.
And then Frank said that in sales, you have to have discernment to know people and understand what they want and need and kind of what they're saying without saying it.
Yeah, so. True evangelist. Yeah. Yep. Called to evangelism. Yeah, okay, teaching, yeah, evangelism. Good, good, good. Anybody else? Raise your hand if you want to go, because if not, I'm going to just start picking people.
Jess.
Yeah. You get to stand with the microphone as loud as possible in front of everybody with your voice.
My first job was a lifeguard.
Oh, yeah.
I know, it's kind of easy.
Yeah. What did they say?
They said, you know, helping people, kind of saving their lives, saving them from drowning. And then also now I work in cardiac rehab, so I'm helping people make changes in their lives. And
a rescuer, a place, a safe harbor. Also, a lifeguard is learning how to navigate in the supernatural, teaching people how to navigate in the supernatural, bringing balance to the flaky supernatural, bringing balance, a place of balance, word and spirit. The lifeguard is, hey, you're not going to get too far out there because I'm going to bring the word. So it's word and spirit. So it's a great balance of the supernatural and the word.
Cool. Thanks.
Anybody else? Oh, yes. She was looking down, hoping nobody saw her. I know. I used to be that person. Oh, please.
And you can stand up. Okay.
Yeah, because you're not getting out of it.
I was a bus girl at Wyatt's Cafeteria. Mm-hmm. It was my first job.
And so, you know, we go and clean the tables off after everybody left. And sometimes we get to carry the trays of the elderly that couldn't carry their tray. And sometimes we get a dimer.
Yeah.
A
yeah.
quarter tip. Right. We were excited to get
that's
to,
right.
It was back in the 70s. But one thing that hit me, Jess said, well, you know, she said something about carrying other people's burdens. Mm-hmm, and I feel a calling of intercession. Mm-hmm. So just that, you know, and then we're trying to kind of make the cleaning the tables maybe fit.
It is intercession. Cleaning tables is intercession. It is. Because what happens is that when the pastor delivers the word, he's the deliverer. Usually pastors will show up in dreams as waiters. And then the intercessors kind of clean up the mess. They're really the people who kind of clean up the mess and kind of keep everything at bay and bring life and keep things in balance, check and balance. The intercessors are, who bring awareness and understanding to things that are going afoul. Kind of. So, yes.
I wondered about the name, why it's cafeteria. Would that
yeah. have yes. That's, if you look up, in fact, I was going to tell you to look up the name Jay when you get a chance. But, yeah, if somebody has a baby name book, I did not bring mine. But if I had my dream app, I would have that. Do you have the baby name book?
Yeah.
What a good student.
Now, I'm working with babies. I'm a respiratory therapist now in a neonatal intensive care unit. I've been doing that for 18 years, so I don't know how that
yeah,
would really fit with.
It's pastoral, helping the weaker, the younger, into their calling and into their destiny, making sure where there's a lack of life, is speaking hope into that person and speaking hope and destiny. Mm. But there's something else you said that caught, when you're listening to the dreamers or people talk, you've got to catch the nuances. And one of the things you said, are you a teacher by any chance? Do you teach? Do you have any desire to teach?
I just taught. I actually was majoring in elementary education.
Yeah, okay.
Middle of my junior year, the thought of standing in front of a group of people scared me, so I
yeah, scared you right out of your calling. And the reason I say that is because a bus person is another term for bus, like a school bus or bus, driving people, taking people places, which is a teaching gift. Yeah. And so
I had a word years ago, and I've just kind of resisted that.
Yeah. fear will keep you out of your calling. It is true. But when you catch those little nuances, a bus, it speaks to that. Did anyone get Wyatt? Mm. Yeah, that's great.
Now you heard her say about fear will keep you from your death. You did hear her say that about
fear. Yeah. Yeah.
Good city. I want to hear her.
It's that moment of dread that comes over you when you hear your name.
I was a waiter at Chili's.
Okay.
First job.
And what did you get from that?
They said I would serve and give the word to people.
Yeah, that's right. Waiters are also black and white people. They tend to be very, here it is, delivering the word. This is it. It's the word. And they tend to be cut through the chase. They bring it, here it is, and they're out.
I'm just a waiter 35,000 feet up, flight attendant.
Oh, operating in the supernatural. Yeah, you're doing the same thing, but in the supernatural.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, to operate in the spirit, to operate at a higher level. Mm-hmm. Called to navigate into the supernatural. And we use this type of ministry to on the street as an evangelistic tool. Can you imagine ministering? Ministering to and putting up dream booths. You know, one of my greatest desires, and hopefully it will come to pass soon, is they've got a long list of psychic festivals that we can get into. And my heart and my dream is to raise up a team that will go into these festivals and bring Christ, bring true anointing. I teach psychics and prophets, psychics versus prophets. And it's really kind of what is the two and how are they differing and what really is that? What is, you know, how do they get that information? And so it goes through the biblical scriptural references to divination and the prophetic. And so once we get that and we go into the psychic community, because they really are just searching for Christ. They really are. They're searching for something true. It's just that they'll take whatever seems right. I mean, don't we all do that to an aspect? You know, we all do that at some level. And what we want to do is bring and say, hey, you are gifted and you are hearing from God. Your satellite's a little off, but you are hearing. It's just we need to show you where the true revelation is coming. See, all that stuff you're doing, all that stuff you're talking about, that's all low level information, horoscopes, all that stuff. Can it hit the nail on the head? Yes. But I have a higher revelation for you. I have a higher revelation for you. Because that's what they're after. New Agers are really just after that higher revelation. I was at getting a massage. I think I told this story here once. I was getting a massage, and it was a Groupon, right? So I've got my 45 minutes. And I get in there, and she, you know, chit-chatting with me. I don't know. I was a little irritated. But she was talking to me, and I don't know, we were talking, she asked me what I did for a living, and I told her I teach on dreams, and she stopped what she was doing and started shaking and manifesting and was like, they sent you, they really sent you. I, the angel sent you. And I'm like, oh Jesus, you and I have to talk. Cause if her angel sent me, we're in trouble and we need a conversation. So the whole time I'm thinking, she stopped massaging. I'm like, you owe me 2 minutes. So she's like, you know, really, and so she's really like, she went into her prayer garden and she sought out her spirit guides, and her spirit guide sent me. And I'm like, okay. So she's like, I have this dream, and in the dream she's speaking, and her gifting is to communicate with the dead. And she'll bring information back to the believing, and what she's leading them astray through communication with the dead. And I'm like, ooh, do I pop her bubble now or do I wait until after my 45 minutes? So I'm like praying, because she's crying now. Like she's like crying. And then she starts not massaging me. She starts taking crystals out from under my bed. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, please come now. So she's taking crystals and she's showing them to me. And she tells me, she goes, I really want you to come and come to my group. I'm a brand new psychic. Well, she said, well, I ministered to her and I told her the interpretation and I spoke to her. She asked me, she goes, has there been any death around you? And I had just had a good friend of mine commit suicide while she was on the phone with me. And so it was a very traumatic season at that point in my life. It was just a couple months ago. And so she is picking up the fact that there was death there. Now I'm thinking, okay, Lord, we really need to talk about this, because she's pretty right on. And so she's picking up this information. She said, oh, you need to cleanse your house with the, I don't know, whatever the cloves or whatever they cleanse it with. I said, she goes, have you done that? Have you cleansed your house? I said, oh, yes, I have. And she goes, but did you do it with sage? It was sage. Did you do it with sage? And I was like, no, I didn't. Ooh, when do I tell her? So she gets down, and I said, it was the blood of Christ. And she stops. She has my hand, and I said, see, I have a higher revelation. See, what you're operating in is a low-level operation. That's all low-level revelation. And they stop, because you can't tell them they're wrong. What you have to tell them, what they want, is they're looking for that next level. That's what they want. All they're doing is trying to climb the ladder. Because that's truly what, and I mean, isn't that what we do? I mean, aren't we trying to go further and deeper into the throne room? They're just going a different way. They're just headed that way. Instead, we got to. And so she tells me totally. And then she tells me, she said, I know my spirit guides brought you, because I was in a room. And when I went into the room, the lady was there. My other psychic friend who trains me was there, and seven angels appeared around the room, but I had never seen these kind of angels. And as she was standing there with the lady with her hands out, Jesus appeared to her and said, I'm bringing you truth. And she started crying, and she said, I really want you to come meet my psychic friends. And she goes, and I said, well, you can come to my, if you come to my dream, she goes, I want to come to your dream class. I said, you're absolutely more than welcome to come to my dream class. She goes, I really need to know this whole, where you get this revelation from. and come to my dream class, but first, can you take me to your psychic friends? She was like, yes, they will love you. And I'm going, oh, I know they will. Well, they can't wait to see me. So, but what my point in that is that there's a community of people out there that are hungering and thirsting after the supernatural. And they have a key that we don't have. There's something that they have that we don't have that we're not chasing after. Spiritual laws are the same. Gravity doesn't change. Universal laws don't change because you're a believer and I'm a believer. They can operate in sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping is a law. It doesn't change. Right? But we have to get it to where they're operating in the anointing and they're impacting thousands. That's what we're after. Right? And so my heart, my dream is to raise up a team that will go and go into the New Agers and start bringing true revelation. Right? Okay, next one. Who thought that they were going to get out of standing up and talking? Was it Jason? It was Jason. Come on, Jason. And that would be standing up.
Standing up.
Yeah.
Speak.
Closer?
Yeah.
Closer?
Yeah.
Well, my job was like Bridget's. My first job was I worked in a little, it was a Iranian restaurant that wanted to be a Greek restaurant. So they would, yeah. A Greek restaurant, yeah. But I did the cashier. I served the alcohol. I was 15 years old. I served the alcohol.
Yeah,
I was
just
doing
like an
Iranian. The washing.
Just like those Greeks.
Washing the dishes, serving the people. So I did it all. That was my first job.
A lot of times when you find, in fact, Jason and I were just talking about this. When you have people who've done a lot of little things, like my husband is notorious for coming up with some crazy jobs. All the way from, I can't even begin to tell you. He was a sculptor for a Christian production company, and he sculpted characters that they 3D imaged in Video Max or 3D Max or whatever. And he was a sculptor to pastor to construction worker to. And those type of people tend to be your apostolic people. They're the ones that have had these crazy jobs that are just kind of a way to tell an apostolic person is when they say a jack of all trades or master of many or what is that? How's
master
that?
Of none.
No, the. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. When you typically those are your apostolic people, they kind of have jobs that are strange experiences and stuff like that. So that was yours, and what did you get from that?
It's kind of the same thing, server, cashier, trust,
elder.
Elder, and that's mm-hmm. one thing. Anywhere me and Bridget go. People just...
Oh, I know. I experienced that Sunday. After I left, I realized, did I just speak for 3 hours? Say that again.
I did wonder if that would be like apostolic, over, many...
Mm-hmm.
Many
typically managers. Managers do also. They kind of tend to be your apostolic. Great. Excellent. Anyone else? Oh, good. Yep. Just chose you. Right on.
Well, I mowed lawns.
Did you?
At two different medical office buildings.
Ah, healing.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, I don't know really what it means to be honest.
Well, what did they say? What did you get from that?
I don't know. What did you guys say? I don't know. I mean, I like to keep things neat and in order.
Keep things within boundaries. Showing people their boundaries, showing them this is how we operate. This is mowing is also a pastoral gift. It's kind of the swift, lawnmower guy who kind of, takes things and says, hey, this is how we're doing it. But it also beautifies because when it chops it down, it prunes and then it kind of builds back up. But it's interesting that it was at a medical facility because that tends to lead. Do you have a healing gift?
I don't know. I worked as a physical therapist for a long time before I had to leave that career.
Yep.
So,
which is probably speaks to why you're being attacked right now. Yeah. Yeah. because especially people, in fact, we were just talking about this, people who are called to manage wealth and manage money, provision, are always attacked in their finances. It's the revelation that you have to walk through, because you cannot have authority over something until you've walked through the attack. There has to be, the greater the attack, the greater the authority on it, right? The greater the attack, the greater the authority on it. So once you walk through the fire of it, then you have the authority to minister in it. And especially people who have been healed, have amazing ministries, but a lot of healing ministers end up in the end of their life getting very, very sick and have a strong attack come against them. And fortunately, a lot of healing ministers haven't learned to how to keep the darkness at bay, because they're about, you know, the praying aspect of it, but not the deliverance aspect of it. So it's the mixture of healing and deliverance together. Right. Anyone else?
I have to stand up. the day that you and I were talking about, you know, I was telling you about my job and that I enjoyed helping people. You know, I was in sales and counseling them, and that was an aha moment for me.
Yeah.
Because you told me that a lot of evangelists, and in fact, yep, one of the guys that I worked with then, this was like 25 years ago, you know, he is a pastor. So mm-hmm. That
yeah,
really resonated with
yeah
me.
You know, it's amazing when you find out that we will manifest our calling all the time. We manifest it in the clothes we wear. We manifest it in the way we operate. We manifest it in the cars we drive. Have you, any of you had a dream about a car, your first car? Has anyone ever had a dream where they were in their first car? Sometimes God will use that to speak to you. My first car was a white Mustang. I was coming out of the gates. But it's white, speaks of justice, righteousness, justice, purity, holiness, plumb line. And Mustang speaks of power and authority, operating in authority. Anyone else? Any aha moments? You got the microphone, buddy.
I'll go. The well, you said something a minute ago that kind of resonated with me, because my very first job, I worked sacking groceries.
Mm-hmm.
As a courtesy clerk,
yep,
they called it. I thought it was so cool. At 13, I got a job as a courtesy clerk, and I thought, all I wanted to do was sack groceries. And I show
yeah,
up,
yeah,
and they teach me how to sack groceries.
Yeah.
I'm like, I thought I was going to be a courtesy clerk. Anyway. But I didn't think about the name of the place, and I didn't even tell them. The name of the place was Safeway.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, of course, they're not in Texas anymore. But so,
yeah,
but then you talked about Jack of all trades, and that's mm-hmm something that I kind of, you know, get that kind
yeah
of that saying.
The world will see it as not having a focus. But, yeah. Yeah, that's me too.
Yeah, I mean, because,
yeah,
you know, I've had, you know, two primary, you know, veins or careers, you know. But through that, I mean, I've worked as, you know, plumber, electrician, worked in construction.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, wastewater treatment plant, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
just all sorts of stuff.
But were you a sculptor in a production company?
I was not a sculptor
no
in a production company. We did some sculpting at the wastewater plant.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah. That's interesting. And bagger, also courtesy clerk, has a lot to do with an eldership position, someone who comes alongside an armor bearer, comes alongside the checker or the pastor, will come alongside and kind of help get things going. And so the bagger is, you know, what did the bagger do? The bagger gets things put away quickly and helps them get them out there, right? Clerks were always in trouble if they didn't have a bagger because they had to do it. And so it kind of held things up. And so it speaks of an eldership position, one who comes alongside and helps push things through, push the vision through.
Mm-hmm. And I look at his family line now, they've really been called to be a house of refuge.
Oh.
Think of that word, Safeway.
Yeah.
House of refuge. And I look at what's been stolen in generations past, even of that very thing, that 17 every week just about.
Wow.
Because their house has that hospitality and a refuge.
Yeah. Yep. Also, bagging has a lot to do with helping someone take their provision from one place to another, helping bring provision and putting provision into their vehicle. So, guidance, counseling. Anyone else? No? All right. What time is it? Okay. We have one more prophetic exercise. What I want you to do, we're not going to take real, real long on this. What this is we are going to learn how to analytically think using the Holy Spirit. I know that totally threw all of y'all. Using the Holy Spirit to think logically through dream symbols. Okay, so y'all get back in your groups, exactly in your groups, and you guys are going to walk through these dream symbols, logically thinking through them, okay, and then asking the Holy Spirit to guide you. Like the first one is attic. No, is house, right? The first one is house. So somebody raise your hand and tell me what a house would represent. Did I just know? Oh. What would a house reflect? A house is, did y'all get one of these? Okay. Does anyone, okay. Here's another one. You can, guys can have another one. A house can reflect what you have, what you're housed in, what you're housing. And oftentimes each house, each room of the house can speak of a body function also. If you're dreaming about your kitchen, it can speak of your kidneys, your digestive tract. It can speak of where there may be a need for healing. If you dream of your attic, it could be healing of the mind, or can speak of brain issues or anything. So your house is what houses you. It could also reflect your soul, dealing with soul issues. So house is what houses you. It's your all-encompassing you, right? The next one would be attic. Somebody logically think through the attic. What would an attic reflect? Where is the attic? So if the house is your soul, what would the attic be? Your intellect, your mind, right? Okay, guys, are you almost done? Yeah? Yes? Raise your hand if you're done. With the whole list. I know y'all can think faster than that. I know, right? Indian style. Yes, let's go ahead and go through. What did you guys get for attic? Raise your hand and tell me what you got for attic. Yes, Randa. Healing of the mind and intellect. Someone else? Oh, you did. Attic, frame of mind, can also speak of generational. Remember, where do you put your old parents' stuff after, you know, where do you put all your parents' stuff? Or your stuff that you've carried around with you? Baggage, history, generational issues. Where do you put them? Not in the basement, not in Texas. On the curb, that's right. On the curb. Can speak of generational thinking. Pursuing intellect, especially if it's cluttered or dusty in the dream. Basement, what did you get for basement? Foundational. Foundational issues. In a positive sense, it can go deeper into things. Hidden issues in the basements where you keep all the secrets. Yep. In the dark. Hidden in the dark. Dealing with hidden motives. God wants to deal with some hidden motives. Or I had a dream. I'll never forget it. I had a dream that right before I went into my my PIT, which is an acronym for Prophet in Training, I had a dream where I was in a basement and I was swimming. It was filled with water, murky, dirty water, and I was trying to get from one end of the basement to the other, and there was like a leviathan snake coming and, you know, and I was just trying to get away from it and trying not to get it, but it wrapped around my leg. And in the dream, what ended up happening is there were some issues in the church that my husband was pastoring at. There were some issues in the church that there was a Leviathan spirit, which is a twisting spirit, twists truth. And that's exactly what happened, but it was a secret hidden thing that was going on. And so I looked at it as thinking, it must be me, what in my life, you know. So what we want to do is say, what in my life has a twisting going on? Is there a deep hidden motive that I'm unaware of, Lord? Show me in my life. And if it doesn't fit your life and you're not bearing witness, then look at the community that you're involved in. Is there something going on here? Now, I'm not saying run out and tell everyone, I had a dream that there was a snake in our basement at this church. You know, you don't want to do that, but you want to pray through it and say, is there something that's going on? Bring light to it if there is. Okay, so foundational issues, going deep, hidden secrets, bathroom. Yes.
Come on, get me on. Leadership level. If you're in this house or any house, if you go to another church and you have a dream like that, whatever you do, don't go talk to 10 people. Go to somebody in leadership you're in relationship with, somebody that's an elder or deacon or a pastor that you can trust. I've seen so many ways that was badly. Mm-hmm. Dream may have been right on. But mm-hmm. you go and share 10 people. Well, if three of those people have a problem with the pastor...
Oh.
You've just released a spirit of witchcraft into incredible ways. So the reason we're doing this, I've seen the flaky charismatics way too much. We need to have mature, spirit-filled men and women of God walking in spirit and truth. God does release those kind of dreams. I've had those kind of dreams as a pastor and everything else, so I kept it very small circle. We've really got to grow up because God is giving us those strategies. But then we're kind of like Joseph. We go out and tell the dream before it's time, and all of a sudden we're in bondage and all hell breaks loose, if you will. So I really encourage you. God wants to give us those things so that we're 27,000 steps ahead of the devil and not give us those things and then release the devil when God wanted to release himself. You understand what I'm saying? It really is time that the church rise up and knows how to defeat the enemy as God gives those dreams and interpretation. Amen?
And if you didn't believe him, so one day I had that dream, and I decided to take it to a few people. Oh, more than a few. And the next 2 years of my life were absolute hell. Yep. Yeah, because I told all too many people, and it didn't go real well for me. Pulled out of ministry, wasn't allowed to be in ministry for about 2 years. I learned. That's what I call prophet in training. It was my pit. Yeah, because I went and told too many people what was going on instead of handling it the way I should. And that was my learning lesson. So take it from me. I know. Okay, ready? Bathroom. Cleansing, that's right. Washing away of sin, place of repentance and deliverance. Said from the waste management guy. Repentance of sins, washing away.
Are you saying he needs to repent?
Yeah.
Is that what
repent
you just said?
Repent of your sins. Shaving. What is shaving? What would a shaving do? What is shaving? In a bathroom. Identity, change of identity. Cleaning up your identity. Washing in a shower is cleansing, repentance. Going to the bathroom speaks of deliverance, getting rid of baggage, rid of things that you don't want in your life. It also can speak to the urinary tract, if there's a problem, or your kidneys, speak to that. Bladder also. Bathroom, or bedroom. Intimacy, y'all are very good. Intimacy and privacy, something of a very private nature. Only few people are allowed in your bed, right? Okay, me and my kids and my husband, Nobody else should be in your bed, right? So it has to do on a familiar level, someone that you're very intimate with. If you're in bed with someone that you work with in a dream, or you're someone that your friend from down the neighborhood or church or whatever, that can also speak of a very intimate, something that's very intimate, not on a sexual level, but on a very private matter, something very private. It can also speak of coming into a spiritual alignment, something of a positive nature of that person if it's a positive dream, or a negative nature if it's a negative dream, a warning dream. I was interpreting a dream for someone who was in bed with a friend, and they were like, why was I in bed with this person? And the person, after a little bit of investigation, the person happened to be going through a divorce. And I said, are you having marital issues? It's some marital, and that's exactly what it was some marital issues. And so it revealed itself by someone we knew that was going through a divorce, like a situation. Can also speak of rest, covenant, or agreement. It can, in a negative sense, it can speak of a slumbering spirit, or a spirit of lethargy, deaf and dumb spirit. Dining room, what'd you get? What? Eating of the word. You're very good at this, Randa, huh? Nourishment. Very good, very good. Anything else? Anyone got anything different? Consuming the word can also speak of your church, where you're nourished at. Yeah, can speak of that. Yeah, communion speaks of communion too, communing with one another, fellowship, family room. Yeah, familiar issues, family issues, real life interaction depends on who's in the room and what's being said. Family can speak of your natural family or your church family. Listen to the dreamer. If the dreamer says family room or living room, okay, because there's a difference. If they say living room, we're going to hone in on their life, right, their family life. It's what brings them life, family, church. If it's if it is a family room, then we're going to hone in on a family issue, okay, family, church family, or interaction. It's how they're interacting with one another. Who's in the room and what's being said? Home or home office or den? Wisdom. Yep. Also, dealing with serious matters or dealing with household matters. Kitchen. Oh, come on. Are you serious? Yeah, digestive tract, right. Very good. Also, stomach, can deal with stomach issues. Preparation for teaching, for a teaching gift, going through preparation for a teaching gift. Also, in a dream, the kitchen deals with the heart issues. It's where the heart is. Deals with heart issues. True motives, speaks of true motives. Note what is spoken. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Who's in the kitchen with you? What are you doing? What are you cooking up? In a negative sense, someone's cooking something up. Be aware. Warning dream. Upstairs. Huh? Seeing things from a higher perspective. Anytime you're going up the stairs, generally always positive. Speaks of promotion, of favor, and influence. Going higher. Can also speak of Pentecost. Holy Spirit is coming on you stronger to release favor and increase. The upper room, right? Roof. Covering. That's right. Covering. Protection. What about yard? Boundaries, right. Speaks of boundaries. If you're in the front, it has to do with your future. If you're in the back, it has to do with your past.
We had a question about that, because we even put down here your spiritual condition, because we think about, you know, your yard being, like, usually when you walk up to someone's house and, like, everything's dead and it's not mowed, it's reflective of something that is going on with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yard and also kitchen is also spiritual condition, too. But, yes, you're right. It reflects identity. reflects your identity, because your yard is what you put out there, right? But it depends on context of the whole dream. Yeah. Is that it? Childhood home, we already went through that. Does yours have church on there? Okay, church. Enlightenment. Very good. You want my job? You're very good. Church. Speak of your church, your natural church, place of nourishment where you're being nourished at. Can speak of ministry and also can speak of heaven. Garage. What would garage be? Storage. What's your car symbolic of?
What sits in the driveway that you can't fit your car in.
Yeah. Right. Car speaks of ministry or business, right? Or what drives you? Family, college, education. What is it that drives you? Usually when we take it into the garage, we're bringing it in for protection. It's a place to protect your ministry. Or you're bringing it in the garage for repairs. Repairing. Something needs to be brought in for repairs. Especially if you're not generally a good idea if your car is up on blocks inside your garage in your dream. Or tires are missing or flat tired. Those are bad signs.
So I know she was joking, but seriously, like, if you really don't use your garage for your car, then does it take on a different...
No. No. It would mean... Yeah, but that's what Attic and it's really what the dreamer... So if you ask the dreamer, I mean, I say that, but 90%, you know, there are no hard and fast rules to dream symbols. We can logically think these out, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings them. Now, I'll give this to you because I can give you a guideline, but you'll go out on the street and go interpret a dream, and you can throw these out the window because they won't even matter, right? But I can give you some guidance. But again, you're right. That would be to the dreamer. What is the dreamer? Well, you would ask the dreamer that question. Do you keep your car in there, or is it storage? Yeah. Garden? Intimacy with the Lord, a place of rest, Song of Solomon. It also speaks of the digestive tract, spiritual harvest, can speak of ministry. Heavenly place, what'd y'all get? Spirit realm, can also speak of the church sanctuary. Hotel. Transition, yeah. Short transition. Apartment complexes are a longer transition, and hotels are a short transition. We're going to go through a short season of transition right now. Where you're at in a dream gives so much information about what's going to happen. That's the anchor of the dream. It's the core of the dream. It all goes back to where are you at. Today, in one of my classes I was teaching today, in the dream, they started out in a murky lake. So the whole thing had to do with someone's muddying the waters. And so we're going to go through this whole dream to find out what. I mean, you can get out there in all kinds of symbolism, but it's all got to go back to what's muddying the waters in your life. Right? Hotel, transition, can also speak of a reception, being received. Jail or prison. Strongholds, bondage, captivity. Confinement, lack of boundaries. Mall, that's when people dream all the time of the mall. Can't speak of evangelism. Can speak in a negative sense of materialism. Materialism, evangelism. Also can speak of a lot of gifting. A church or a community where there's a lot of gifts being displayed. Also can speak of finance, provision, necessities. What about restaurant? Restaurant typically reflects the church. When you dream that you're in a restaurant, it usually has to do with you being in church or your need to be in church or be in a community or a church body, a fellowship, right? Library or school. A place of higher learning. Universities, in a dream I interpreted recently, he was a teacher at a university. So you're at a time, he was preaching at a university with an amphitheater, and an amphitheater means, hey, I'm God saying, hey, we're magnifying this issue. This is being magnified. And he was preaching at a university. It's a place of higher learning or high school, spiritual. We're going to talk about some spiritual things, what's going on in the spirit realm. Elementary, immaturity, speaks of foundational issues, elementary issues, basics. Education, learning, knowledge, lessons, continually failing in your classes could mean that you feel like you aren't learning your lesson because you keep repeating the same dumb mistakes. Having a dream that you are missing classes could mean that you feel like you are missing it with regard to what God is trying to teach you, or missing it in another area of your life where you should be getting it. Wondering if you are going to graduate or pass a test could be that you have fear of failing in life, of not being able to get it right. You could feel like you're trying as hard as you can, but you don't feel like it's good enough. And that is it for tonight.